Welcome back to the show, everybody. Got a great episode for you today. I only have two things to talk about, but both will take up quite a bit of time. So this episode will probably be about 45 to 50 minutes long. And the two things I will be talking about, first off, I'm going to be giving my spoiler review of Stranger Things Season 4 Volume 2, because I'm sure a lot of people are coming to this episode to listen to that, so I put that first. So, if you don't want any spoilers for Stranger Things Season 4 Volume 2, or really any spoilers for Stranger Things Season 4 in general, then maybe this podcast episode isn't quite for you. But there's also a Star Wars recasting, where I will be recasting most of the characters from the live-action movies and TV shows from the Star Wars universe. So no, that will not include the Clone Wars or Rebels or any of those animated shows. And it's not even every character, but I got quite a few. And basically, if you want me to recast any characters that I didn't mention in my Star Wars recasting, hit me up on Facebook or Instagram at Pop Culture Podcast. Send me your character and I will recast it for you. Either that or go head over to my YouTube channel and do that and comment down below on the video. But yeah, the two things I'm talking about, Stranger Things Season 4 Volume 2 and then the Star Wars recasting. And that is really it for today. But I do have my Thor Love and Thunder review coming up, as well as my Ms. Marvel Episode 5 review. And then the Boys Season 3 review coming out Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, depending on how long it takes me to finish everything. But you can also get those reviews earlier on my YouTube channel. So go head over there, subscribe, watch the videos, click the notification bell so you never miss an upload. But yeah, basically this podcast is for the people who want to listen to my reviews and all my stuff in podcast form, because for some people, it's a little easier to consume that way. So basically what this podcast is at this point is just the audio form of my YouTube videos. So when you hear me say like, comment, subscribe, and stuff like that, that's just the audio form of the video. So sorry if that bothers you, but that's basically what the podcast is at the moment. Maybe it'll change in the future, but for now, this is what it is. So yeah, I hope you guys enjoy. But before I get into my review for Stranger Things Season 4 Volume 2, I have to thank today's sponsors. This episode is sponsored by Audible, which, if you don't know, has a great selection of audiobooks, originals, and podcasts. And right now, if you go to www.audibletrial.com/popculturepodcast, you can get a free 30-day trial of Audible Plus, which lets you listen to a selection of audiobooks, originals, sleep tracks, meditation programs, and podcasts. Or you can get a free 30-day trial of Audible Premium Plus, which gives you all of that from Audible Plus, as well as one free title per month from an extended selection of bestsellers and new releases, and you own those, so that's awesome. So if you want to go get that 30-day free trial of Audible, that website is www.audibletrial.com/popculturepodcast. Now on with the show.
It's 106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes, it's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Alright, so Stranger Things Season 4 Volume 2 is available now on Netflix, and I know I am super late to reviewing it. Also, I know my shirt is a little too small for me and a little tight, but I don't give a shit, okay? This is going to be a spoiler-only review. I was thinking of making a non-spoiler review for Volume 2 of Season 4, but I recorded like 15 minutes of it and realized I really couldn't say a whole lot without, you know, I wasn't spoiling anything, but there's really not a whole lot I could say if you haven't seen, you know, the first volume or really any of the other seasons of Stranger Things. This is for the Stranger Things fans who want to hear me talk about the different things in the show, what I think about it, what I think about the gap between Volume 1 and Volume 2.
What I think about the future of Stranger Things, what I think about the certain characters and what happened to them. Lots of crazy shit to talk about. I have so many notes right here. So let's just dive into it. But before I do that, actually, I do have to thank today's sponsor, which is Audible. If you go to audibletrial.com/popculturepodcast, you can get yourself a 30-day free trial of Audible Premium Plus, which includes, you know, I think you get, yeah, you get one credit or two for Prime members, which you can use towards any of their premium selections, so like audiobooks and stuff like that. You can buy those with that, and even when the 30-day trial is over, you still keep that Audible, or not Audible, the audiobook, or whatever you end up getting with it, which I think is really cool. And if you're like me, you don't necessarily like to read, and you don't really have a whole lot of time to read, but you might have time to listen to things, so you can listen to a lot of their exclusive original content. You got audiobooks, you have guided meditation, you have podcasts, you even have sleep sounds on there. They have all sorts of different stuff on Audible. So you'd definitely be supporting the channel, supporting me, and also supporting Audible, which is honestly a service I really love. I don't use it as much as I would like to, just because I'm so busy with everything I have going on. But when I have some time, I do like to go on there to listen to some of their podcasts. I do have a few audiobooks on there. One of them I actually am listening to on and off is, forget exactly what it's called, but it's basically like a novel version of Avengers Endgame, and it's awesome. So, I mean, I'm a nerd. I love anything Marvel. So they have all sorts of different like Marvel-related stuff. Or if you're not a Marvel fan, you know, get yourself some Harry Potter. There's also all sorts of good audiobooks, podcasts, originals, guided meditation, and sleep sounds. So, yeah, definitely go get yourself a 30-day trial of Audible Premium Plus. Like I said, that is audibletrial.com/popculturepodcast. Thank you very much, Audible, for sponsoring this video. And let's get to my review. Starting off with episode 8 called Papa. Basically, in this episode, 11 is still in that facility with Dr. Brenner and Dr. Owens, where she's trying to get her powers back. Spoiler alert, she ends up getting her powers back. But, let me look at my notes here. Sorry if I'm not looking directly at you guys, but, yeah, also, sorry, it's really hot in here. This is a long sleeve shirt. I don't know what I was thinking. But, yeah, 11, we see the flashback of her, like, watching the portal that she opened and put one into Henry/Vecna. She's watching it close. Dr. Brenner comes in. And at first I was like, does he not know what was going on with one? Does he think that 11 killed all these people and shit went down? But no, we find out later on that he was actually looking at the cameras and saw everything happen. So, yeah, let me see here. Nancy, after we see her in volume 1 at the very end, you know, she's being taken control over by Vecna, and we find out that Vecna actually doesn't want to kill her. He wants her to warn 11 of what's coming. Maybe not warn her, but just like tell her what's coming and be like, hey, you can't avoid this, so here's what's coming. But also, I thought that was kind of a stupid move on the villain's part. It's basically the villain, you know, telling the hero their maniacal plan. But, I mean, you do you, Vecna, I guess. Also, one thing I thought of in the last episode, I was like, damn, Vecna literally looks like a cross between Freddy Krueger, Drax the Destroyer, and the Grinch, because he's got that gut. But, yeah, let me see here. Like I said, Vecna isn't going to kill Nancy. He wants her to tell 11 what's coming. Hopper and Joyce, the reunion. That's not a word. You know, seeing them reunite, I thought was great. And in the next episode, they end up, you know, almost getting it on, but get a little distracted there by everything. But, yeah, Nancy, like, is having these visions of basically seeing Hawkins being destroyed, and it looks freaking insane. We also find out later that she saw a vision of her mom and her sister being killed. And I was like, damn, Vecna, you fucked up. Also, yeah, this review isn't for kids. But, we see a demodog tied up in the lab in the facility or the prison that Hopper is in. Hopper straight up just fucking shoots the thing. I was like, badass, Hopper, you're badass. The Demogorgon is loose, so it's killing a bunch of the Russian guards. Hopper and Joyce and Murray end up getting out of there. And they need Yuri to get them another plane. He ends up leading them to a crappy helicopter that's never even been flown by him. And try to get him back to America. So, yeah, we'll see how that goes. But, it's great to see Hopper finally getting out of that prison. Looking great, by the way. What's his name? David Harbour. He definitely got in a lot better shape. I think he's looking great, dude. Hopper's looking slick, man. But, let me see here. We find out that the scientists there are making a bunch of clones of the Demogorgon and the Demodogs. And later on in the next episode, they actually come to life and start attacking. But, Eleven gets shocked back to life. I kind of just wrote too many notes here, honestly. I wrote, like, every detail. But she does have her powers again. She lifts the tank that she was in. Let me see here. Nice moment with Will and Mike, but then you kind of see what's happening there. You find out that Will most likely is in love with Mike, and Will might be gay. But, I mean, they never fully address it. They never outright say it. I mean, Will and Jonathan have a moment in episode 9 where it's kind of like pretty much completely alluded to, but at the same time, I feel weird assuming, but at the same time, there's just so much foreshadowing and just so much laid out where it's like, how could this not be what it is? So go Will, live your life, man. And even though he can't end up with Mike, I hope he ends up with somebody nice. So yeah. Let me see here. Dr. Brenner ends up dying in this episode, gets shot up by some soldiers. Eleven brings down the helicopter and explodes. And then, Mike and the others find her and get her out of there. But let me see here. Basically, the whole time taking my notes, I'm like, I think this person's going to die. I think this person's going to die. I think everybody's going to die. I thought Steve was going to die. I thought Robin was going to die. But who really ended up dying? I mean, obviously, everybody knows at this point, our boy Eddie died being a hero, trying to fight off the Demobats. He was doing good for a while, but they ended up getting him. And then Brenner as well. And those are the two big main deaths of the season. Aside from like Chrissy and the one other dude that was with Nancy. But yeah, I mean, Eddie was definitely hard, but I kind of saw it coming too, because, the Duffer brothers have a tendency to introduce characters and then kill them off in the same season. So I kind of saw it coming. What got me the most actually was the moment, and I don't know for sure if it was Eddie's uncle or his dad, but the moment that Dustin has with him, where he's basically saying that he was a hero and stuff, like, that hit me harder than Eddie's death, honestly. But, heartbreaking stuff there. And then what's even more heartbreaking, or at least equally heartbreaking, is, the fact that Max almost died, pretty much. She did die for a little bit. Her heart stopped for like a minute, I think they said. And Eleven brought her back to life with her powers. And I know I'm going in between both episodes right now. Whatever. Also, I don't know how much longer this is going to be. My throat hurts because I already recorded like 15 minutes before this. But also, it's late. So sorry if I'm feeling seeming a little slow and tired. It's because I am slow and tired. But the military showed up at the base. There was a crazy fight, and honestly, it reminded me exactly of the opening to A New Hope, Star Wars A New Hope, where you have, like the rebel soldiers waiting, just pointing their guns, waiting for something to come out, and then the stormtroopers come out, and then they start shooting at each other and stuff, and then Darth Vader shows up. It reminded me of that, honestly, where the soldiers in the base were just, like, standing there ready. You even got, like, a close shot at one of them, looked exactly like the shot from Star Wars. I was like, that's so cool. And then I feel like there was something else that kind of reminded me of Star Wars. a little bit later on in the volume 2, and I think in episode 9, but I can't remember exactly what it is. But yeah, I mean, some crazy moments in episode 8, but where it really goes down is episode 9, and I was really worried about how they're going to wrap everything up, because after seeing all these Marvel Disney Plus shows like Hawkeye, not Miss Marvel yet because that hasn't wrapped up, but like Moon Knight, they typically have a little bit of an issue wrapping up their shows nicely and, you know, bringing all the stories together. But with this, I think they did a really good job, especially since we are going to get a season 5. It is confirmed that they're going to start filming. I forgot when they said they're going to start filming, but it's confirmed that it is going to come out in 2024 as long as COVID doesn't hit again and they have to delay shooting and stuff like that, which would make the kids even freaking older at that point. But sucks that we're going to have to wait until 2024, but it is bound to be the craziest season and definitely the finale. I think they're going to stop with season 5 because where else would they go from there? But Vecna overall wasn't my favorite villain. I thought the twist of him being one and all that was kind of cool, even though it was kind of spoiled for me. But I mean, overall, he wasn't the greatest villain of all time. He was fine. And the fact that he is connected to everything, so everything that happened with Hawkins and Will and all the kids and Eleven, like, it's all connected to him, because basically we see a scene of him showing up in this other dimension or this other world, and he sees, like, the Demogorgons and Demodogs and the Mind Flayer and such. So basically takes over that world and does some crazy shit with it. I love it. Yeah, let me see what else I have for episode 8, if there's anything else in here I necessarily need to talk about. I was worried the entire time that they're going to kill Steve, and they didn't, so I was happy about that. But maybe next season they will, and if they do, I will be very sad, because love Steve. Yeah, with episode 9 called The Piggyback, we got Eddie, Dustin, Nancy, Steve, and Robin in the Upside Down, going to the Creel House in the Upside Down to go destroy Vecna's physical form, while Lucas, Max, and Erica try to lure him towards them in the real-life, like, Hawkins version of the Creel House. Throughout that, you know, Jason and one other, you know, basketball player dude that's with him, they show up. The other dude ends up tackling Erica, that motherfucker. And then Jason ends up going into the house, seeing what Max is like, thinking that Lucas is connected to it and all that. And so him and Lucas fight. Pretty good fight overall. Lucas definitely got some hard hits on him. They both got some hard hits on each other. But man, that Jason dude, I do not like whatsoever. But at the same time, just looking at him, he looked like a zombie, basically. You know, there were bags under his eyes. His eyes were all bloodshot. It looked like he hadn't slept since Chrissy died, and like, damn, it was crazy, dude. And we saw him in the previous episode at the, you know, the ammunition, whatever store, the weapons store, basically trying to find weapons and talking to Nancy about the guns and stuff, which actually gives Nancy the idea to do the sawed off shotgun, because it's easier to hit your target when it's sawed off like that, I guess. But, yeah, let me see here. Eleven decides to do the whole, sensory deprivation kind of thing, essentially, that she did in like season 1 all throughout Stranger Things, honestly. And she's gonna use that to basically go into Max's mind and protect her from Vecna and fight him. He gets the best of her for a little bit there and almost kills Max, pretty much basically does kill Max. And then Eleven gets out because Mike is talking to her and being like, I love you and shit. And then she just fucks that boy up. And then Nancy, Dustin, but Nancy, Steve, and Robin in the Creel House, they set Vecna's body on fire. They fuck that boy up straight up. He's dead, kind of. But we find out at the end of the episode that he's not really dead, but he's like really hurt. Because Will can feel him. After coming back to Hawkins, he can feel all that. But let me see here. Eddie, basically what he does to lure the demo bats, he plays the guitar, which we saw in the trailers and we were all waiting for, and he played Master of Puppets by Metallica, and coolest fucking shit ever. Loved it. We find out, and this is the most important thing that we learn in this season, that Eleven likes pineapple and pizza, And I'm here to tell you, I like it too. It's not my preferred pizza, but I still like it. So go after me in the comments if you want. But let me see here. Bear with me. I mean, we all know that Eddie dies. That's what I said earlier. And like I said, I saw it coming, but the moment with Eddie's uncle or dad, I'm not sure which one, the one where Dustin's like, he was a hero, he died a hero. That's what got me the most. And then when Eleven found out that Vecna was behind everything, I was like, it was Vecatha all along. Yeah, that was cringy. But let me see here. Yeah, basically Max, like, she's in a coma now, but when she was awake for a little bit, she couldn't see or feel anything. So we'll see what happens when she wakes up, if she wakes up. I'm sure she will by the next season. But, yeah, Murray torches the Demodogs and Demogorgons in the prison, which was badass. And then one of them's still alive, so Hopper fights it with the sword, fucking cuts off one of the arms and beheads it. So fucking cool. Joyce and Hopper, you know, the chopper. Joyce and Hopper, the chopper. The helicopter that Yuri was fixing up is ready to go, so they're going to head back to America. And then let me see here. Everybody, oh yeah. Basically, it skips 2 days. It says 2 days later, and we see Mike and the others heading into Hawkins. There's smoke everywhere, and we see a news report where they're basically like, it was a 7.4 earthquake. And then they're also talking about how, you know, they still think that Eddie Munson is behind the murders and stuff like that, and that, you know, oh, what's it called? Hellfire. They think that's a cult. But, yeah, just basically establishing what other people would know at this point, normal people. And then everybody gets reunited, which is so great. Eleven and Mike and Will and all that, they come back and they meet with Lucas and Dustin and Nancy and all that kind of stuff, which I love. And then they're fixing up the old house where Eleven and Hopper lived when a black car shows up and they're like, oh shit, it's the government. And Eleven's in her room and somebody's coming. We're like, oh no, oh no, is it the government coming to take her away? No, it's just Hopper opening up the door. And oh my god, that moment is the second moment in this episode to make me cry. First one being that moment between Dustin and Eddie's either dad or uncle. Yeah, just seeing them finally reunite. That's what I needed in my life, honestly. And then they're talking about like, oh wow, you look a lot better. You know, Hopper even hugged Mike, for fuck's sake. He didn't like Mike a lot. He kind of hated Mike, honestly, when him and Eleven were together and he was basically Eleven's dad, which he still is, honestly. Brenner, I said this, I was like, Brenner is her papa, but Hopper is her dad. And we're having all these nice moments when Will is the first person to notice it, feel something on the back of his neck. He looks around and then ash starts to fall from the sky. And it's the first sign that their world is starting to collide with the upside down. They go to this grassy hill looking over Hawkins and they see a bunch of smoke and the flowers and the grass are turning gray and dying. And in that smoke, you can see the red lightning. And that's how you know that Vecna is coming back for more. So shit is gonna get crazy in season 5. I mean, holy shit, man. I honestly, I don't fully know where this show's gonna go, but I know a lot of people are gonna die in season 5. Are they gonna split it up the way they did with this season? I kind of hope not, because I think it kind of did this show, or this season specifically, a disservice by splitting them up. I would have much preferred to watch them all in one go. And I don't know, the conclusion would have felt a little more satisfying if I didn't have to wait and have that gap. But we're all spoiled with streaming services nowadays. That's how people had to do it back in the day. Watch it, you know, week to week, and maybe even have to wait months. That's how some people are still watching TV. That's how CW does it. So I'm just a little spoiled. A lot of people are, but I still think that it should have all been released at once, and I hope they don't do that with season 5, but there's a good chance they might. They basically just do it to have people subscribe for another month, so Which sucks because Stranger Things was really the only thing I was subscribed to Netflix for. So maybe I'll watch some other stuff while I still have it, but yeah. And that's all I really have to say about season 4, volume 2. Pretty long video for sure. But I hope you guys enjoyed this video. Like I said, audibletrial.com/popculturepodcast. Get yourself a 30-day free trial of Audible Premium Plus. Leave a like on the video. Comment down below. Have you, well, obviously, if you're watching this video, you've watched it. But what did you think of Volume 2 of Season 4 of Stranger Things? What did you think of the full season of Season 4 of Stranger Things in general? I would love to know what you thought down below. Let me know. And please press that subscribe button as well as the notification bell so you never miss an upload. The next video coming out should be, I don't know for sure if I'm going to make an initial reaction video for Thor Love and Thunder. I might, like I did for Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. I am going to see it twice on Thursday, so maybe I'll do that. But it'll either be an initial reaction video, which will not have spoilers, or it'll be my non-spoiler review, and then most likely coming out on Friday would be my spoiler review. So we'll see how it goes. Yeah, and then The Boys wraps up on Friday too, so that review should be coming out maybe Friday or Saturday maybe. I don't know. Because I kind of want to see Thor again on Friday or Saturday, but I don't know. Maybe I'll just stick to the two times. But we'll see what it ends up being. Definitely a lot to talk about. Obviously, Ms. Marvel episode 5 is out now, so next week will be the final episode of that. I'm kind of happy just to have things be wrapping up, to be honest. I'm just like, oh my god, there's too much to watch. But yeah, that'll be wrapping up next week, so look out for that video. As for my episode 5 review of Ms. Marvel, we'll see when that ends up coming out, honestly. Maybe it'll come out tomorrow. We'll see. Or maybe I'll just wait to review it until next week when the final episode is out, and I'll just review the final two episodes. But we'll see what I end up doing. Maybe the next video will be that Ms. Marvel episode 5 spoiler talk, so we'll see, like I said. But leave a like on the video, comment down below, subscribe, push the notifications bell, head over to audibletrial.com/popculturepodcast. I will see you guys in the next one. Thank you so much for watching. Alright, so for this video, I'm going to be recasting the entire Star Wars universe. I guess you can't really say the entire Star Wars universe because I'm only going to be recasting the ones from the live-action movies and TV shows. So that will not include Clone Wars, Rebels, Bad Batch, I think there's one called Visions, none of the like Lego Star Wars TV specials or anything like that. This will mostly just be like the movies, TV shows. And it's not even going to be every character from the live-action movies and TV shows. So, like, people like Cara Dune, didn't recast that one, didn't really care to. General Grievous, kind of a big one that I didn't recast. But, honestly, I feel like you can find any voice actor for that. So, I'll just recast it right now. How about that? Let's do Phil LaMarr as General Grievous because he's a great voice actor. So, we'll go with that for anybody who is really craving for that General Grievous recasting. But like R2-D2, didn't really feel like there was a need to recast that one. Even to a certain extent, I don't think Chewbacca needed to be recasted, but I did that anyways, because there's one person that I actually have on here a couple times, I think, that is a pretty good voice actor, and also one of my favorite actors. So I'll get to that in a little while, but right now I do actually have to thank today's sponsor, which is Audible. And right now, if you go to audibletrial.com/popculturepodcast, you can get a free 30-day trial of Audible Premium Plus, which will give you access to all their originals, podcasts, audiobooks, guided meditation, and sleep sounds. Yes, they have sleep sounds too. They have everything, honestly. And yeah, with Audible Premium Plus, when you sign up for that, it'll give you 1 credit or 2 credits for Prime members that you can use towards any of their premium audiobook titles. I guess, I don't know for sure if you can use it for other things, but I know for sure that you can use it for their audiobooks. So yeah, once again, that is audibletrial.com/popculturepodcast to get yourself a free 30-day trial of Audible Premium Plus. So again, thank you Audible for sponsoring this video, and let's get into it. And actually, a little bit of context here that I just need to add. Most of these characters, I'm going to have them play the characters you know, for the entire time. I'm not going to, you know, cast an older version of Obi-Wan. What I'm going to do basically is have the actor I have playing, you know, I guess you could say the younger versions of themselves, be aged up with prosthetics and CGI throughout the films. And also the way this works, this is if Star Wars came out today, started with Episode 1, Phantom Menace, and we got a movie every year, and then just, you know, kind of tacked on as the TV show stuff. But, yeah, lots to recast here. I have done recastings before. I've done recastings for the DC Universe, as well as Marvel. And with the DC ones, I went ahead and casted a lot of characters that weren't already in movies, just like comic book characters I would like to see in the movies. But for Marvel, that was purely like, I'm 99.9% sure that I only casted people that are already in the MCU. And so that's how it's going to work for Star Wars, you know. But I don't know enough about like the comics or the books to know any characters that aren't already in the shows or movies there. But yeah, like I said, lots to recast here. So let's go ahead and start off with the Jedi. And yes, I'm color coordinating this. Can't talk. I'm color coordinating this stuff because I thought that'd be pretty fun. But yeah, starting off with Luke Skywalker, this is the person who will be playing Luke Skywalker through A New Hope all the way to Last Jedi. And this isn't my first pick necessarily, but it was one of my picks. The person I originally had as Luke, I was like, I think they're going to be a better Han. So that's where they are now. We'll get into that in a little bit here. But for my Luke Skywalker, I went with Ty Sheridan, who was in Ready Player One. He played Cyclops in X-Men Apocalypse and Dark Phoenix. He was also recently in Voyagers and The Card Counter. Pretty great actor. I think he has the look for Luke. He's also young enough. You know, I'm trying to stay pretty close to the age that Luke was supposed to be in the first episode, which I think was like, I don't know, maybe 18 or something like that. So Ty Sheridan, I think he's like in his mid to late 20s. So it's close enough. There's actors, plenty of actors out there who are almost 30 that can pass for teenagers. So yeah, Ty Sheridan as my Luke Skywalker. For my Anakin Skywalker through I casted this one through from episode 2 through Obi-Wan Kenobi. But I have a different one for young Anakin for episode 1. Just because of this actor, I don't think it would make sense to have him as like the young Anakin who's supposed to be like 9 or 10. But for my Anakin Skywalker, I went with, and I don't know if people are going to like this one too much, but I like it personally, and he's also who I casted for my Red Hood in my DC recasting, and that is Tanner Buchanan from Cobra Kai. He plays Robbie on that show. You also might know him from He's All That, that great movie on Netflix, and then a show called The Fosters. Just seeing him on Cobra Kai, seeing, you know, how he can fight, how he can move around, and then just seeing, like, the anger that his character from Cobra Kai has, I think he would really pull off Anakin. So this was an obvious choice for me, to be honest. And I think that's probably the casting choice that got me started on wanting to do this recasting. That and Obi-Wan, which we'll get to in a sec. But for young Anakin in episode 1, I went with Walker Scobell from The Adam Project, the kid from that movie. I think he had a lot of charisma in there, and I can see him being a younger version of Tanner Buchanan, possibly. Yeah, not a whole lot to say about that casting choice, but I think it would be cool. As for my Obi-Wan from episode 1 to A New Hope, I went with Taron Egerton from Kingsman, Sing, Rocketman, and Eddie the Eagle. I really like Taron Egerton as an actor. I think he's fantastic in the Kingsman series. And he also has, like, this warmth to him, I guess you could kind of say. Like, from his roles in Sing and in Rocketman, like, he has a certain warmth to him. And he just seems like a really nice guy. And that warmth is something that's something I attribute to Obi-Wan Kenobi, just him being a passionate, kind person, and I think that Taron Egerton can both pull that off and pull off the badassery that you need for Obi-Wan. By the way, definitely got to bring out the lightsaber. Been meaning to bring this out, but Yeah, I think Taron Egerton would be a very cool Obi-Wan, and I would age him up with prosthetics and CGI, like I said. For my Yoda, I actually went with somebody who's somewhat new to the acting space, but does a lot of impressions and a lot of voice work. And he was most recently, I think he played Dracula. Like, I think he replaced Adam Sandler in the new Hotel Transylvania. And honestly, I couldn't tell the difference. Didn't see that movie, but from the trailers, I couldn't tell the difference. And I also wrote down / YouTube impressions guy. For Yoda, I went with Brian Hull, who, for those of you who don't know, he goes around to, like, Disney World. And he basically, like, goes and does, like, a bunch of impressions of different characters with the characters at Disney. So, yeah, he's really cool. And he's just now getting into the acting / voice acting realm, I guess you could say. So, yeah, I think he'd be cool as Yoda. I was having trouble picking my Yoda, but I was just like, you know what, let's go with somebody who does good impressions, and I think who could do it. So I went with Brian Hull. For my Rey, I went with Jessica Henwick from Love and Monsters, The Matrix Resurrections, Iron Fist. She was also in Force Awakens. I forget exactly which character she plays there. But she was also in Game of Thrones. And she was actually almost casted as Rey, so that's basically the reason why I gave it to her. Give her a chance, you know. I think that Daisy Ridley did a really good job as Rey, but, you know, I would like to see the second choice, I guess. You know, see what she would have to do. She's been in some good movies. She might not be, like, the main character of any of the movies I've seen, but, you know, I've seen her in Iron Fist. She can definitely do badass, so I think she could pull it off. For my Qui-Gon Jinn, this is actually one of my favorite casting choices from this entire list. For Qui-Gon, I went with Ralph Fiennes, who played Voldemort in Harry Potter. He was also in The Kingsman and the 007 series, as well as a lot of other things. He's a really great actor. And once I, you know, because basically how I do this is, and thank you to Famous Birthdays for having it nice and categorized. You can find, like, different actors and actresses and categorize them by age. So I try to have it kind of close to the ages and, you know, have, you know, people that are supposed to be older than other people and people that are supposed to be younger than other people actually be older and younger, you know, if that makes sense. And I saw Ralph Fiennes and I was just like, he would be such a great Qui-Gon. I could definitely see that. So I think he is one of my favorite picks on this entire list. Not just the Jedi, but, like, the entire recasting. I really like that casting choice of Ralph Fiennes as Qui-Gon Jinn. For my Mace Windu, and I always butcher this guy's name, but I think it's Demon Hounsou. He's been in the Guardians of the Galaxy series. He was also in A Quiet Place 2, Gladiator, The King's Man. There was something else. Oh, yeah, he was also in Miss Marvel as the same character from Guardians of the Galaxy. But he's a great actor, and, I just think he would be cool as that character. I like him. It would be either be him or the guy who plays, I think it's Chiwetel Ejiofor, probably saying that wrong, who plays, what's his name? Mordo from Doctor Strange. I think that'd be a good pick, too. But I ended up going with Demon Hounsou, because I really like him as an actor. For my Ahsoka Tano, yes, I put Ahsoka Tano in here because technically she was in Mandalorian. So I went with, I don't know if people are going to like this too much. She was almost my Padme, but she's too badass to be just Padme. So I went with Zendaya as Ahsoka Tano. I love Ahsoka Tano. She's one of my top five favorite characters. Even though I haven't watched the Clone Wars, I still like her a lot because I've watched a lot of clips from that show. But yeah, I think Zendaya would definitely kill it as Ahsoka Tano. Obviously, she's been in Spider-Man as the new MJ. She's been in Euphoria most recently. Well, maybe not most recently, but she was also in Dune. She's been in a lot of great stuff, and she's definitely one of those actors on the rise. So I think she would be very cool as Ahsoka Tano. And don't mind me just, you know, turning this on and off and setting it down and picking it up. I can't put this thing down most of the time. Now we are getting to the Galactic Republic. You know what? We'll just go with, oh, that almost looks purple to me. Let's go with that color for the Galactic Republic. I think that's the color I started with, but oh well. Yeah, so only person I have in Galactic Republic, it was hard for me to like categorize some of these people, but I have Padme in here. And definitely not my first choice, because my first choice was Zendaya. But I do like this choice. I think she's a great actress who just hasn't been in enough yet. But I went with Margaret Qualley. She's a really great actress, honestly. I really do like her. She was in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, that Tarantino movie. She was also in Maid, a really great Netflix series if you haven't checked that out. She was also in the live-action Death Note movie and in The Nice Guys. And I think she would do a pretty good job as Padme. I could see her and Tanner Buchanan having some chemistry. They're close enough in age to where it's not creepy, because it's kind of creepy the way the Anakin and Padme relationship works. But, you know, it is what it is. And then for the Rebel Alliance, am I changing the color for this one? That didn't really change the color much. You don't really notice a whole lot there, do you? I'll have it like that. How about that? For the Rebel Alliance, this is like Han Solo and Leia and stuff. So, for Leia Organa, the version that will be there through A New Hope all the way to Rise of Skywalker, I went with Olivia Cooke, who is also in Ready Player One. So it's kind of weird because Ty Sheridan and her were like love interests in Ready Player One. Now they're going to be siblings, but you know, kind of some irony there because they did kiss each other in the original trilogy. But she was also in Meet Earl and the Dying Girl, Sound of Metal, which that movie is really great. Definitely go check that out. And then Bates Motel as well. And I think she would do a good job. There's a lot of people that I would considered for Leia. But at the end of the day, like this made the most sense to me. Giving it to a somewhat smaller actor while also, you know, making them close enough in age to Luke, and then trying to have her close enough in age to Han as well, because Han was like 29 when Leia was like 18 or some shit like that. But Olivia Cooke is Leia Organa. As for my young Leia for Obi-Wan Kenobi, I went with Lexi Rabe, who played Morgan Stark in Avengers Endgame. And I don't know. That's all, like, the only really big thing that she's been in. And the fact that she's been Morgan Stark in Avengers Endgame is the main reason why I casted her as young Leia. So, there you go. You know, playing the daughter of a huge character. So, yeah. For my Han Solo, I went, and he was my original choice for Luke. I went with Ansel Elgort from Baby Driver, the most recent West Side Story, and Fault in Our Stars. You know, at first I was like, man, he'd make a really good Luke. But then I thought about it some, and I was just like, man, he has a lot of charisma, and just some of the characters he's played reminds me of Han Solo. So I was like, I think I gotta cast this guy as Han Solo. So that's what I did. As for my Bail Organa, I went with an interesting choice. This actor has actually worked with Jimmy Smits, who plays Bail Organa in Star Wars. They worked together on Brooklyn Nine-Nine, as well as In the Heights. You might see where I'm going here. I went with Lin-Manuel Miranda, who is famous for Hamilton, In the Heights, Tick, Tick, Boom, he recently directed. And he was also on an episode of Brooklyn Nine-Nine with Jimmy Smits. Funny enough, Lin-Manuel Miranda plays the brother to Amy Santiago on that show, and Jimmy Smits plays the father of Amy Santiago on that show. So I thought that was kind of funny. Wasn't planned, but then I thought about it and I was like, oh my god, that makes it even more perfect. So yeah, Lin-Manuel Miranda as Bail Organa. I didn't cast the mother because, I don't know, I'm not sexist or anything, I just didn't care enough. I mean, this is already a pretty long list as it is, and yeah, I thought this was enough for now at least. But for Chewbacca, that, like I said, one of the characters where I was like, you don't necessarily need to cast anybody huge for Chewbacca, just anybody who can do an impression. And while I have not heard this man do an impression of Chewbacca, I have heard him do impressions of other Star Wars characters. I went with Bill Hader, who is famous for being on SNL. Barry, highly recommend you guys check out that show. He was that funny cop on Superbad. In It Chapter 2, and he also lent his voice to the role of BB-8 in the Star Wars sequel movies. I'm sure a lot of people actually didn't know that, but yeah, indeed he did. And as you can tell here, there's exceptions here for people who have been in Star Wars before. As long as they haven't played the character before in live action, or I guess cartoons technically count too, then I'm just like, all right, I'll go ahead and cast them as a different character. But for my Lando Calrissian, trying to think of who I went with at first. I'm not necessarily sure. I don't know. I think I went with like Daniel Kaluuya or something like that, but I can't remember completely. But I ended up picking Michael B. Jordan as Lando Calrissian. I think that he is a great casting choice. He has the charisma that Lando needs. And, you know, let's not lie to ourselves. He has the looks too. So I think he has that kind of, I guess you could, the only other word I can think of is swagger. He has that swagger that Lando Calrissian is supposed to have. He is very charismatic. He's a good looking dude. So I think he could really pull it off. He's also a really great actor. So Michael B. Jordan as Lando Calrissian. For my Jyn Erso, the main character of Star Wars Rogue One, I went with Ana de Armas from Knives Out, No Time to Die, Blade Runner 2049, and the upcoming Blonde movie where she will be playing Marilyn Monroe. She is such a great actress. I loved her in Knives Out, and I will watch anything she's in, pretty much. So, haven't really seen her in too much of an action role. I guess No Time to Die does count. She kicks some ass in there for sure. Didn't have a huge part, but I'd love to see her as Jyn Erso. As for Cassian Andor, the other, like one of the other main characters from Star Wars Rogue One, and I guess you could say kind of the love interest of Jyn Erso in that movie, I went with Dev Patel, who is famous for Slumdog Millionaire, Lion, The Green Knight, and The Last Airbender. Probably shouldn't have included that one, but yeah, I mean, I think he's a great actor. He hasn't necessarily been in movies that I've loved. Green Knight, really did not like that movie. And Last Airbender, terrible movie as well. But I have not seen Slumdog Millionaire or Lion, but I know for a fact that he has acting chops. So I would like to see him take a stab at Cassian Andor. Let me see here. As for the Resistance, are we changing the color here? Oh, I'm running out of colors. Guess we'll go with that one, even though it didn't really change much. Let's see, how many? I only have three for the Resistance. So Poe Dameron, obviously. I went with Sebastian Stan, who plays Bucky / the Winter Soldier for Marvel. He's also most recently in that Pam and Tommy show. He was in The Martian, which is actually one of my favorite movies. I, Tanya. He's been in a lot of great things. And at first, I went with, what's his name? Let me see if I have it written down somewhere. Not to, like, spoil an upcoming casting, but I thought I had him somewhere else. Maybe not. So I'm trying to think of who I had originally. I think I might have had Pedro Pascal at one point as Poe Dameron. But then I was like, I feel like I need to kind of cast younger. And also I found somebody else who I thought was a little more suited for the role. I think Sebastian Stan has that charisma. And I could just see Sebastian Stan interacting with BB-8 and Rey and Finn. Honestly, for a lot of these actors, it's like, in my head, can I picture them interacting with these other characters, playing that character? And with this, I was like, man, I can't not have him as Poe Dameron. But up next for Finn /FN2187, I went with Daniel Kaluuya, who was in Black Panther, Get Out, Judas and the Black Messiah, and upcoming this month. I'm very excited for it. Nope. So can't wait for that movie. I think Daniel Kaluuya could definitely pull this off. It would definitely be maybe not a completely different role for him. He has done the kind of fantasy roles before with Black Panther, but this will be a little more of like a little more of a sci-fi kind of thing going on. And there's plenty of sci-fi in Black Panther, but this is like space, you know? So I think Daniel Kaluuya would do a really good job as Finn. And I think he would also have somewhat more of a different take on it. For Rose Tico, everybody's favorite character. I mean, I don't hate the character, but, you know, I didn't agree with some stuff that she did in Last Jedi. You might know what I'm talking about with Finn. I went with Karen Fukuhara from The Boys, Suicide Squad, and she will also be in the upcoming Bullet Train movie with with Brad Pitt, which I'm also very excited for that one. But I think she would be very good as Rose Tico. She's awesome on The Boys as Kumiko. And yeah, I would like to see her in this role and see what she could bring to it. And we are done with the Resistance and all the Jedi and stuff. So why don't we get to the Sith? I can't wait. Now, out of all of them, I think it's like the Jedi and the Sith are the ones I have the most for. So let's just get straight into it, dude. Obviously, got to start with Darth Vader. And yes, Tanner Buchanan is technically Darth Vader in this situation, in this scenario. He's the dude underneath the mask. But for my voice, you have to have somebody who has that powerful voice. And it's hard to replace James Earl Jones, but I think out of everybody, Jeffrey Wright would be the best decision for the voice of Vader. You know, you might know him as the Watcher from What If. He was also Commissioner Gordon in the Batman. I forget his character's name in the 007 movies, but he's in those movies as well. And then the series Westworld, which I've watched the first two seasons of. Great on that show. But Jeffrey Wright has that voice where I really think he could lend it to this character and do an amazing job. Maybe not quite surpass James Earl Jones, because that's really hard to do, but at least get as close to it as possible. As for my Emperor Palpatine, I think I went with Andy Serkis at first, which would also be a really great pick, but I ended up going with the creepiest dude I've ever seen. Maybe not like creepy just him as a person, but in terms of the roles he's played. You know, he's played, I forget the name of the monster, the demon from Death Note, but he played that. And then obviously Green Goblin as well in Spider-Man. I think Willem Dafoe would make an amazing Emperor Palpatine. And as I say that, I'm sure a lot of you right now are just like, oh my god, I never thought about that, but holy shit, that's a great choice. Honestly though, it is a great fucking choice. I mean, what more can I say? This dude can do horror, he can also do, well, he can do everything. He can do anything he sets his mind to, so Palpatine, definitely think he can do it. As for my boy Kylo Ren / Ben Solo, maybe not my boy, I don't love Kylo Ren, but not a lot of people are going to like this, but some people are going to be like, yeah, I can kind of see it. I went with Timothy Chalamet from Dune, Call Me By Your Name, Little Woman, The King, Interstellar, Wonka, the upcoming Wonka movie, The French Dispatch, Don't Look Up, and that's pretty much it. I think he's a pretty good actor. He's shown that he has enough depth and shown that he can do all sorts of different kinds of tones. You know, in The French Dispatch and Don't Look Up, those are more comedic roles that he's done, and I think he did a good job there. He's going to be playing Wonka, which he's going to be playing an iconic figure, so I think the movie opportunities are going to open themselves up to him. And from everything I've heard and everything I've seen, this guy's a great up-and-coming actor, so I think I would like to see him as Kylo Ren. As for my Count Dooku, this is a good choice. This is actually one of the first casting choices I did for this video, and that is Charles Dance. You might know him as one of the Lannisters from Game of Thrones. He was also in The King's Man, Alien 3, Last Action Hero, The Crown, and Underworld. Great actor. Can definitely pull off that that menacing, just kind of evil vibe that that Count Dooku has. I think he would be great. As for my Darth Maul, I'm not in love with this pick. I love the actor, but I don't necessarily know if I see him 100% as the character, just because the original actor did such a good job. I went with Tom Hiddleston as my Darth Maul from, you know, Marvel. He plays Loki, you know, Crimson Peak, Kong Skull Island. He's been in a lot of stuff. I think he'd be really cool. I don't know for sure if he can pull off the choreographics, but I think he could learn it. So I think he would do a pretty bang up job as Darth Maul. But like I said, I don't know. Could I have casted better? Probably, but could I figure out who it is? I don't know. I couldn't find anybody else. So that's just kind of who I went with and stuck with. As for Reva / the third sister from Obi-Wan Kenobi, I went with Zoe Kravitz from Mad Max Fury Road, X-Men First Class, Divergent, Fantastic Beasts, and The Batman. And I think she would be great, honestly. I love Zoe Kravitz. I have loved her in everything I've seen her in. So I think she would kill it as Reva. I mean, Reva wasn't the best villain of Obi-Wan Kenobi, or really the best villain of Star Wars in general, but I think Zoe Kravitz could bring something really neat to that, so there you go. And for the other Obi-Wan Kenobi villain and the last person in the Sith category, I went with the Grand Inquisitor. Now, I think I had one other casting option here, but I ended up going with somebody who I know can do this kind of role and is really creepy, because he's done a similar kind of role very recently. I went with Jamie Campbell Bauer from Sweeney Todd, Twilight, Mortal Instruments, Harry Potter, and also Stranger Things. So, yeah, spoiler alert for Stranger Things if you haven't gotten around to that. Sorry about that. This video probably won't come out for a little bit, so you should be fine. But, yeah, I think he would do a really great job as that Grand Inquisitor, being very menacing and just really intimidating to look at. Like, Grand Inquisitor, he's scary. I'm not even going to lie to you. The actor that he had for him, he's fine for the most part, but I think Jamie Campbell Bauer would bring something even more menacing and intimidating to the role. So there you go. That's the last for the Sith there. And I guess I don't really want to do orange for Galactic Empire, so I guess I'm just going to keep it red at this point. Starting with, and I think I only have two for this, starting with Moff Gideon. I didn't know whether to put him in Sith or Galactic Empire, so I just went with Galactic Empire. And I went with a much younger casting choice here. For Moff Gideon, I went with Mahershala Ali, who's going to be playing Blade in the MCU. He was also on Luke Cage. He was in Green Book and Moonlight. He's a really great actor. I fucking loved him. Loved him on Luke Cage. I thought he was a really great villain in that show. So I think he would make a really good villain as Moff. Really good villain. Did I say that right? Really good villain as Moff Gideon. And for Grand Moff Tarkin, I went with Christopher Walken from Pulp Fiction, Batman Returns, Sleepy Hollow, Catch Me If You Can. Honestly, just like comparing him to the original actor, I'm just like, oh my god, like he could definitely play that character. That'd be perfect. Enough said about that. And we're getting to the First Order, and then after that, it'll be the etc. category, the ETC category. Only have three for the First Order. I have Captain Phasma, played by Charlize Theron. You know, she's been in Mad Max Fury Road, Fast and Furious, Hancock, The Italian Job, and spoiler alert for Multiverse of Madness, she was also in that at the very end. She's a great action actress, does a lot of choreography and shit like that, so I think she could pull off Captain Phasma. She's a badass, so there you go. For Supreme Leader Snoke, I think I had a different casting choice at first, but I ended up going with Benedict Cumberbatch from, obviously, plays Doctor Strange in Marvel, The Hobbit, Sherlock, Star Trek Into Darkness. He has done voice work before for The Hobbit as Smaug. So basically he'd be doing a similar thing here. Maybe they could also do, the mocap stuff like Andy Serkis did for this character. Yeah, I mean, he's done that stuff before, so I think he would kill it. Excuse me, hiccups. And then for General Hux, I went with Alfie Allen, who is from Game of Thrones, John Wick, Jojo Rabbit, and The Predator. When I had to think of somebody who was kind of a weaselly little snake, maybe not the actor necessarily, but his character in Game of Thrones and John Wick for sure, I'm just like, yeah, that's kind of who he plays. So I think he would do a good job as General Hux. So yeah. And we're getting into that ETC, etc. category. Starting with C-3PO, I went with Jack Whitehall. I don't know how people are going to feel about that casting choice. Hasn't been in anything too great in terms of movies, but he's a really funny comedian. Also, he's British, so that kind of... I think he could do a good C-3PO impression if he really tried. So he's been in, like, Jungle Cruise, Clifford the Big Red Dog, The Nutcracker in the Four Realms, Good Omens, Drunk History, and then I also wrote stand-up. He is a really good stand-up comic. I think he's hilarious, and I think he could bring that energy to C-3PO and even be in the suit and do the movements. I think he could do that for sure. As for Boba Fett / Jango Fett / the clones, because, you know, they all look alike. By the way, I didn't cast young Boba Fett. Sorry about that. But I went with Carl Urban. honestly, the most obvious choice. You know, he's in The Boys. He played Judge Dredd at one point, Thor Ragnarok, and Star Trek. I think he would fucking kill it as all these characters, essentially. I mean, Temuera Morrison did a great job as all the characters, but if I had to recast it, I would be 100% on board with Carl Urban. So there's that for you. And sorry if I'm speeding up a little bit. My voice is starting to hurt. So trying to get through this a little quick. As for Jabba the Hutt, I also went with Bill Hader for this one because he's actually done his Jabba the Hutt impression on late night talk shows and it's perfect. So, you know, if it ain't broke, let's go with it. Yeah. And then for the Mandalorian / Din Djarin, I went with Oscar Isaac. You know, he kind of looks a little bit like Pedro Pascal, so that's part of the reason why I did it. But also, I think that Oscar Isaac could have that, I don't know, almost, he's like a caregiver for the child, you know, for Grogu. And I think Oscar Isaac could pull off that kind of, that warmth that Din Djarin's supposed to have, but also that badassery that he's supposed to have when he's fighting people, because at the end of the day, he is a bounty hunter. So, you know, I think Oscar Isaac could pull off that sweet yet badass, you know, nature that the Mandalorian is supposed to have. So there you go. And then the last two here, not huge characters, but Uncle Owen and Aunt Beru. I really, for Uncle Owen, I really wanted to cast this actor in Star Wars, but I just couldn't find the right character. So I was like, screw it. Let's just make him one of the smaller ones because I just wanted an excuse to put him in here. I went with James McAvoy from X-Men. He played the younger version of Professor X. Also, he was in Split as well as Glass. What else was he in? His Dark Materials, Together, which was a really good indie film there. And then It Chapter 2. So yeah, I think he would be good as that role. I mean, not a huge character, but I mean, I just wanted to see James McAvoy in the Star Wars universe. So I was like, I guess I'll put him as Uncle Owen. I kind of wanted to cast him as Obi-Wan, but I wanted my Obi-Wan to be, you know, somebody younger for the prequels, since, you know, the way I'm doing it is having them be aged up with prosthetics and CGI. So I went with James McAvoy for Uncle Owen. And for Aunt Beru, I went with Jodie Whittaker, who is I don't think she's the current doctor for Doctor Who, but she was like the last one at least. So yeah, she's been on Doctor Who, Broadchurch, Attack the Block, and Black Mirror. She's a great actress. I've seen her on Black Mirror. I haven't seen much of her as Doctor Who. I kind of fell off of that show a few years ago, but yeah, I mean, she's a great actress and I could definitely see her in that role. So that's why I went with Jodie Whittaker. Also, they have good, you know, I think they would have good chemistry, James McAvoy and Jodie Whittaker. I'm not certain that they've worked on anything together. I don't think so, but it's possible. But I can see them having good chemistry, so that is why I went with her. But yeah, oh man, over 35 minutes of recasting choices. My throat hurts. I feel like coughing up a storm right now, but I'm going to wait until I finish recording to do that. Definitely took me a minute to get through all that, but like I said, comment down below if there's any characters that I didn't cast that you would like me to recast. And I'll reply to your comment and recast that character for you. As long as I can find somebody within a reasonable amount of time, that's not going to take me like an hour to find somebody. But yeah, let me know if there's any live action TV show, like Star Wars TV show or movie characters that I didn't cast and you want me to recast them. Would definitely be down to do that. Leave a like on the video and subscribe. Also hit that notification bell so you never know, so you never miss an upload from me. So yeah, also thank you to Audible for sponsoring this video once again for that 30-day free trial of Audible Premium Plus. That is audibletrial.com/popculturepodcast. That is all I got for you. Once again, thank you so much for watching, and I will see you in the next one.
That is all I got for you guys today. Like I said in the beginning, in the next episode coming out on Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, maybe even possibly Monday, will be my maybe initial reaction for Thor Love and Thunder, because I might be doing one of those videos like I did for Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. But there will definitely be a non-spoiler and a spoiler review for that coming out in the next episode, as well as my review. Probably going to do a little bit of a non-spoiler and spoiler review for The Boys Season 3. and then a straight-up spoiler review for Ms. Marvel Episode 5. So definitely lots to talk about in the next episode, but as for this one, I hope you enjoyed, and I will see you in the next one.